Swordcrossed by Freya Mask. Read by Amari Douglas. Chapter 1. Matty laid his fingers on the polished edge of the bar's wooden surface and forced himself to stop counting sheep, and yards of twill, and looms in need of repair, and outstanding debts. Instead, he counted today's collection of ink smudges, bruised black on the brown skin of his hands. 6. He counted the number of blue dyes that would have been used in the fabric of the bartender's layered skirt. 4, possibly 5 if the paler shade was true dim flower and not just the result of fading. The tense throb of pain like a fist clenched in his hair eased, grudgingly, to a quiet ache. Bearable. Normal. It was busy in the drinking house. The post-dinner hour that usually found Matty heading back to his study to finish the paperwork that a member of his family had tugged him away from in order to eat. Matty counted the number of flavoured Genever bottles on the shelf behind the bar, 15, in the time it took Audrey to finish serving her current customer and sweep her sky-coloured skirts to stand in front of Matty. "And here's a face we haven't seen in a while. Something tells me you're here for a celebration, Mr. J." Matty hoped the smile he'd pulled onto his face wasn't the wrong size or the wrong shade of abashed. News travels fast. "Matinesh J and Sophia Cooper. A match surprising exactly no one." Matty kept the smile going. There was a silence in which Audrey politely didn't say, "Pity she's in love with someone else." And so Matty didn't have to say, "Yes, isn't it?" Audrey said, "Wait here a moment. I've got something in the back that I think will do nicely." Matty cast a glance over the room as Audrey disappeared. His cousin Roland made an extravagant sighing motion and pretended to check his watch when Matty's eyes landed on their table. A burst of laughter came from a dark-skinned woman nearby. She was wearing a dress that rode high at the knee to reveal a fall of lace like frothing water. A northern style of garment that Matty's own northerner mother seldom wore these days. At the closest table, the Mason Guildmaster, Lisbeth Martins, was deep in conversation with a senior member of the Guild of Engineers. Martins met Matty's gaze with her own and nodded brief acknowledgement. He was sure she was weighing his presence as consciously as he was weighing hers. This was a place to be seen, after all. "Here you are. Red wine for young lovers." Matty turned around again. Audrey named the price for the bottle as she uncorked it and set it on the bar. Matty paid her, ignoring the lurch like a fish hook in his stomach at the amount on the credit notes he was so casually handing over. "Matinesh J, firstborn of his distinguished house, had no reason not to indulge in one of the finest bottles of wine that money could buy." No reason that anyone here would know about anyway. Matty took the bottle in one hand and hooked 3 glasses with the other. Making his way over to the table, his mind circled back to dwell on the wrong sort of numbers. The money in Matty's purse was painstakingly calculated. Enough for the first round of engagement drinks, and enough for him to hire a top-of-the-range duelist who would step forward in the awkwardly likely event of someone challenging for Sophia's hand at the wedding itself. Matty's skin prickled cold at the very thought of what might happen if Adrian Vane challenged against Matty's marriage to Sophia and won. His family's last hope would be gone. Matty would have failed them in this, the most useful thing he could do for them. He was so caught up in this uneasy imagining as he wove through the room that he collided hard with another person's shoulder. Matty was both tall and broad, not easily unbalanced. The unfortunate other member of the collision made a grab for Matty's coat, couldn't get a good grip and tripped to the ground with a caught back fuck. Matty tried to step backwards. They were crammed into a small space between tables and there were people moving around them. His first panicked instinct had been to keep the wine bottle upright and the glasses safe, so he didn't have a hand free to steady himself on a chair. He wasn't quite sure what happened next, except that he ended up wobbling and stepping forward instead, and he felt his boot come down on something that was not the floorboards. A small, pathetic, grinding mechanical sound crawled up Matty's nerves, heel to head, and reached his ears even amidst the noise of the busy room. "Sorry," he said at once. "I'm sorry, was that... Oh, Eunice, teeth!" The man on the floor jerked his head up, staring at Matty, and Matty stared back. For a moment, all that Matty could see was the wide, straight line of the man's mouth, set beneath an equally straight nose and the frame that set off the whole. The dark, luminous copper